The Work of Elder W. C. White. 1913. Typed. Copied from diary, December 14, 1902. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, August 18, 1899. I awoke as the clock struck 11. I desire to write out some things that the Lord has given me for my instruction. On Friday, I talked with my son, W.C. White, in regard to the necessity of giving his whole time to the work of preparing my writings for publication. My mind was much troubled, and after going to rest, I could not sleep, but I fell asleep after a time. In the night season, light came to me that W.C. White had from his childhood been trained in the Lord's work. Before his birth, he was dedicated to God, and after his birth, he was chosen of God to serve him with singleness of purpose. He is to stand ready to serve where necessity requires. It is not possible to separate him from the general work in which he is so intensely interested. I am instructed that if he will trust wholly in God, the Lord will work with him and through him, giving him judgment to do the Master's service aright. It is essential also that he shall be connected with his mother's work. The preparation of my writings for publication in book form should receive his attention. And there are other responsibilities that he must bear in this country. He is better prepared than some others to see the needs of God's cause and to present these needs before the people in a way that will arouse them to give these matters proper attention. Through his connection with the work of his mother, whom the Lord has instructed, W.C. White can give to the people the light that is essential in regard to plans and methods. The Spirit of the Lord will impress upon his mind the deep import of the matters laid out before him. I can communicate to him matters that the Lord has seen fit to present to me for many years, in regard to the principles upon which God's people should act. W.C. White has a special work to do. He cannot disconnect himself from his work, for it is his lifeblood. It is his inheritance from the Lord. For this work he was born. He cannot be at rest in spirit when there are so many important matters needing adjustment, for at such times the developments in the Lord's cause lay upon him a proportionately increased responsibility to discharge faithfully his duties, duties as important and sacred as those of any other man who is called upon to deal with the mental and spiritual interests of his fellow men. As this is the light given me, I now renewedly dedicate my son, W.C. White, to the Lord's work. A work that includes the preparation, with as little delay as possible, of the matter which the Lord has given me to present to the world, to our churches, and to individuals. Copy of portion of letter written to Elder George I. Butler, October 30, 1906. May the Lord bless you, Elder Butler, and preserve you in health. May his spirit and his grace be upon you. The questions that you ask in regard to the book plates I cannot answer now. After the death of my husband, I was for 1 year so afflicted that I felt that perhaps the Lord would let me rest in the grave. Night after night, I was in deep sorrow. One night, I had a special answer to my prayer. It was after the healing power of God came upon me at Healdsburg. At that time, the Lord raised me up and gave me a special light, and I have never since felt so unreconciled. I was instructed that the Lord had mercifully raised me up because he had a special work for me to do, and I was assured that I should have the special protection and care of God. The Lord had spared my life and had saved me from that which was surely sapping my life forces. The mighty healer said, "Live. I have put my spirit upon your son, W.C. White, that he may be your counselor. I have given him the spirit of wisdom and a discerning, perceptive mind. He will have wisdom and counsel. And if he walks in my way and works out my will, he will be kept and will be enabled to help you bring before my people the light I will give you for them." Let your light so shine before men that they may see and understand, in a special manner, that the Lord has given a message to meet the emergencies that will arise. As you speak the words I give you, angels of heaven will be with you to make impressions on the minds of those who hear.
I will be with your son and will be his counselor. He will respect the truth that comes through you to the people. He will have wisdom to defend the truth, for I will take charge of his mind and will give him sound judgment in the councils that he attends in connection with the work. The world in its wisdom knows not God. It does not behold the beauty and harmony of the special work that I have given you. Your son will be perplexed over many things that are to come before my people. But he is to wait and watch and pray, and let the words of God come to the people, even though he cannot always immediately discern the purpose of God. If you watch and wait and pray, providence and revelation will guide you through all the perplexities that you will meet, so that you will not fail nor become discouraged. Time will outline the beauty and grandeur of heaven's plan. It is difficult for human minds to comprehend that God, in his providence, is working for the world through a feeble instrument. To know God in the working out of his providence is true science. There is much knowledge among men, but to see the designs of heavenly wisdom in times of necessity, to see the simplicity of God's plan revealing his justice and goodness and love and searching out the hearts of men, this many fail to do. His plan seems too wonderful for them to accept, and thus they fail to be benefited. But providence is still in our world, working among those who are grasping for the truth. These will recognize the hand of God. The counsel and purpose of the Omnipotent One and his great plan are not recognized by selfish human beings. It is difficult for man, in his pride and self-sufficiency, to accept the plan that God is working out through the mediation of his Son. It is contrary to the mind of the self-deceived and self-important to receive God's words of warning and reproof. They resist the light. But the promises of mercy and grace and love must come through the lips of my messengers to those who are being led astray. If those reproved will heed and understand and be corrected, if they will change their willful course of sin, God will grant pardon. But if they allow the enemy to stir up rebellion in their hearts, they in turn will stir up rebellion in other hearts, and in their stubbornness will fight against God. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. These words place a weighty responsibility upon Christ's disciples. The followers of Jesus are under obligation to the world to reveal him in pure, noble characters. What a light shone forth from Daniel! He made known the purpose of God in the court of Babylon, reflecting the light of heaven into this proud kingdom. What light shone forth from his three companions as, in steadfast integrity, they stood before the proud monarch, declaring, "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Daniel 3, verse 18. What a demonstration of the power of truth was the example that Abraham set before the church in his home. Mordecai, Ezra, Nehemiah, and many others were chosen messengers, men through whom the pure light of consecration shone brightly. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. All who would be disciples of Christ are bound to make God and heaven manifest by good works. All who walk humbly before God will surely recognize the workings of His providence. The messengers that God sends are as light in a dark place. Through Christ, God is establishing a kingdom in this world. As God's people reveal Him in good works, they become the light of the world. As they work under Christ's counsel and bear a living testimony to the truth, they will be sustained against the power and craft of Satan, which will increase as we near the time of Christ's second appearing. God's witnesses are to hold firmly to the word of the Lord, which is to shine amid the moral darkness till the very close of this earth's history.
There must be, in this time of trial, a dignified reliance upon the word of God. We are to hold fast to past and present truth. The light is to shine forth with heavenly clearness. God will give an increase of light to those who walk in light received. Satan's devising and his mysterious, deceiving power cannot put out the light which God bids shine. Every soul who is willing to be instructed by the Word has the precious treasure of strength of character and is enabled to glorify God in word and act. The followers of Christ increase in power to be good and do good, for the Sun of Righteousness is shining upon them.